Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading, Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 through 20. I read for you again the beginning and the ending verses. "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. Yet your people say, 'The way of the Lord is not just,' when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, 'The way of the Lord is not just.' O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, it is not fair. Parents hear those words more than once. It's sometimes hard to decide what is fair. A simplistic idea of fair is, well, that's when everybody gets the same size piece of dessert, the same amount of TV or internet time. But another way to judge fairness is where everybody simply starts the same. Everybody starts at the same point in the race. Everybody gets the same opportunities. Yet another way of judging fairness is by responsibility. How much has been given relates to how much has been expected. Not only children, but adults too, have different ideas of what is right. The political campaign going on now shows people have a lot of different ideas about what is just and what is right. Is it just to make sure that everybody gets what they need, no matter who pays for it? Or is it just to make sure that everybody gets to keep what they have earned or use what they have deserved? One principle of justice in our system of government is that everybody is free to feel, to do whatever they feel and want to do. Well, at least that's the way we're operating nowadays. But there's a problem when your right interferes with my right to do what I feel or want. Christians have a different idea of what is right. Instead of just doing whatever they want and feel, everybody should do what God says is just and right, because he knows what he's talking about. But different Christians disagree on exactly what that is, and so some people cry, "That's not right, that's not fair." Ancient Israel also had objections to God's ways. At the time of Ezekiel, because of their disobedience, God had allowed the Babylonians to come in and take over, even though the Babylonians were more sinful and wicked than the people of Israel. And they say, "That's not fair. God is not being just." God says to Israel, "You are the ones who are not being unjust. You're getting what you deserve." In the text, God cuts through all the red tape of who deserves what by pointing out that the redeemed are to live by God's law, but that sinners can only be saved by God's grace. That's our main idea. The redeemed are to live by God's law, but sinners, which includes all of us as well, can only live by God's grace. So, don't just hear God's word, but speak it. Don't just be partly righteous, but forgiven. And don't just give up on life, but repent. Let's think first about how we need to not just hear God's word, but speak it. God says to Ezekiel, "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'O wicked one, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul." One thing that may not seem fair to us is being punished for what someone else does. If someone in the classroom does what's wrong, if they're talking too much, should everybody in the class lose their privileges or recess time? Yet, when some people abuse their rights and they do what is wrong, We may all end up giving up some of our liberties in order to enforce laws that bring them under control. God tells Ezekiel that he has been appointed as a watchman. A watchman is responsible for announcing what he sees. It might be danger approaching, it might be good things. If people are hurt because he didn't do his job, he is held responsible. If you know about somebody who's going to commit a crime, but you say nothing about it, you can be charged with being an accessory to that crime. If you know there's a fire, but you do nothing to warn others of that fire, then you are responsible for what happens to them. One thing that is basic in God's law is that we are responsible for caring about other people because we are people of God, and God cares about everybody. One reason we are watchmen is because of what God gives us. How much is expected is related to how much is given. And God has given us His Word. He says, whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. God has given us His words. We know them from the Bible. We're responsible for speaking that Word of God that we know. One way to recognize the rightness of this is to think about, well, what if we never learned about the gospel because those before us did not faithfully preserve it or pass it on to us? Now we are responsible for not letting that Word of God just die with us. This means we are to share both law and gospel with our children, passing it on to the next generation, but also speaking about it in public discourse. If a nation is destroyed because the watchman didn't speak out, what that watchman has is destroyed as well. If our society is ruined because we don't speak out about what is wrong, we can't say, well, I'm doing what is right, because where we live is being ruined too. When society is endangered by accepting wrong behavior, we are responsible for speaking out about what God says, saying clearly, that is not right, whether others want to listen to us or not listen to us. But also, because of the real danger of punishment for sin, we are also to speak out clearly about the gospel, about how God saves, even though people might not want to listen to that either. At the same time, we ourselves need to keep on hearing that word of law and gospel, because our text reminds us, don't just be partly righteous, but forgiven. God says to Ezekiel, you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, none of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right, he shall surely live. We who know what is right need to warn others about sin, or we deserve to suffer along with them. But once we have done that, when we ourselves live according to God's word better than others, does that mean that we therefore deserve to be saved? Well, the answer is no. That's another thing that doesn't seem fair to us. Our righteousness doesn't give us credit before God. You know, I have cards from stores, I bet you do too, that give discounts, that give points for discounts as you use that. You save up points. But you know what? I don't shop at that store very often. I never get enough points for that to do me any good, because there's a certain threshold before it starts. Well, the only way my righteousness would give me credit would be if I was righteous all the time, all the way to the end of my life. If I sin before I die, I lose my points. Is that fair? Well, think about it. If you turn on the water in one bathtub for a minute and then turn it off, and you turn on the water in another bathtub for 2 minutes and turn it off, how much water is in this bathtub compared to what's in that one? But if you turn on a light in a room for 1 hour and turn it off, and you turn on a light in another room for 2 hours and turn it off, How much light is in this room compared to that room? None at all. It's all totally dark. That's the way it is with our righteousness. Righteousness is obeying God. If we don't continue, we're not righteous. This is why Paul wrote it to the Corinthians, we heard it in today's epistle, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Both today's gospel and epistle reading emphasize the need for all of us to repent. We can never rely self-confidently on self-righteousness. The only real righteousness is the righteousness of Christ, the one who completely did what was right his entire life. This righteousness is given to us by God's grace through faith when we repent and receive his forgiveness. Once again, fairness is being responsible for what we are given. When we are forgiven and saved, when we know God's word, then we're responsible for living according to what we know is right. And we save ourselves a lot of grief and misery and receive the benefits from living that life God tells us to live. But even though we are expected to live in doing what's right, we must never expect to live by doing what is right. It is not unfair, then, that the righteous can still lose everything. Because God promises grace to everyone who deserves nothing. Don't just give up on life, but repent. God says to Ezekiel, you son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel has warned the people of Israel that God will punish them for their unfaithfulness and their rejection of God's ways, and so their kingdom surely falls to their enemies. Their reaction is the same as children will sometimes react when punished. All right then. Well, what I'm doing is not good enough. I quit. I give up. I'm not even going to try to do what is right. It's hopeless. Those who sin often don't see how they can live without doing the things that they want because they don't trust in God's providing for them. But then when they're called to repent, they don't see how they can live if God's warnings of punishment are true because they don't trust in God's grace. But God's providing and his warning and his grace are all true. God does not want us to die, but to live. And so he keeps on giving us life. It may seem unfair to those of us that those who keep on doing wrong keep on getting second chances. That those who waste everything they get keep on getting more. But what is fair is the fact that this is true for all of us, as Paul points out in the epistle. And as he writes in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is not fair. He is fantastic. He is not only just, he is the justifier. When Israel sins and suffers, they wonder, how can we live? God promises, as I live, I will forgive the repentant. We have hope not because of the way we live. We have hope because God lives. And because God keeps his promises. And so Jesus lived as one who totally kept God's law for us and died in our place to pay for all of our sins. So once again, we are responsible for what we've been given. God gives us the offer of grace and forgiveness in order to turn us from repentance, from our sin to repentance and faith in him. God has given us his powerful word and his sacraments. which cause life in those who are spiritually dead and turn around those who are stuck in their sins. No matter how righteous, no matter how sinful we are, we all need to come and keep on receiving what God is freely giving us. We need to keep on relying on just grace, because God is just and God is gracious. So don't just hear God's word, but speak it. God has made his watchman by giving us his word. We need to speak it to others. We need to keep on speaking it to one another and hearing it ourselves, because we need to be not just be partly righteous, but forgiven. God gives us a righteous way of life. We need to live in it. But we cannot live by our righteousness. We are never good enough to deserve and not need God's grace. But don't just give up on life. Repent. God has given us not only his warnings, but his promises. They are for the worst of sinners. That means they're for all of us. Jesus, who lived and died for us, keeps on giving us life. Because God wants us to live. He wants us to live in righteousness. And he wants us to live with him forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.